Blog Talk Radio.
This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The Jiki Vance sugar dime, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and lean the Vega and get lit, what?
Introduced in, phantom of the dark, walk through my hazard with levitation from Chris Finch and Divas and these seven showboating with Rugas, flash vines, Belafonte Digger, let's get forward this birth as we confiscate your figures.
Casanova Brown, levitating Jiki and Ashiki's the La Hada car, 54, chasing diamond runners headed ice band, the big killer diamond convention, Harlem Buck strut, breathing world heights, Hollywood, Madam Butterfly, let me in your house, a pleasure, from the knuckle swat, shadow boxes catching black eye blue.
I play the thief, why? Sensations at the Monte Carlo screaming. Fulfilling pleasures in my castle, blow the smoke out. The Goss of Vegas substitutes when the Dutch is gone. The load don't stop. Give me shouts if the seasons are taking.
This is it, what? This is it, what? It's Tuesday, what? This is Tuesday, what? Hey. Hello, everybody out there in radio land, internet land. Phone line, studio line, however you are finding or have found your way to Carol's Corner, Lady T and I would like to say thank you all very, very, very much. Lady T.
Yes, I'm here.
How was your weekend?
I think I'm coming down with a cold, but other than that, I'm doing amazing. I'm doing amazing, ooh, bruh.
KK is
graduating on Friday, so we're doing a lot of preparing. So, yeah, okay. We okay.
Yeah, my granddaughter graduates Friday as well. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This is her graduation season, baby. Yeah, I thought okay, Kay. It's the graduation. Yeah, talking about, yeah, man. Hey, listen, Carol's Corner love the kids, and we love the achievement of the kids as much as we love the kids, y'all. I'm trying to tell you, man. You know, I was talking to my coworker today, and, you know, just going over all I plan on doing for my grandbaby for her graduation, and she was like, well, I mean, what, she leaving high school? I said, no. She said, she going to first grade? I said, no. She said, well, what are you celebrating? I said, I am celebrating her achievement in life, mm-hmm. her young life, from preschool to elementary. She was like, oh, that's a guy. I don't understand that. Why would you celebrate that? I said, first of all, you don't have any kids or grandkids, so I wouldn't expect you to understand, but I'm going to try to break this down for you, okay? We get these kids used to being celebrated for their accomplishments. Yeah. And their achievements, and guess what? They are only going to accomplish and achieve more as their life continues, goes on. So to me personally, I don't feel like there's an accomplishment that a child reaches that you don't celebrate. Celebrate them all.
Yeah.
You daggone skip. Because you know what? That same child, right? When they do something off the streets, what do we do?
Chastise them.
Exactly. So guess what, y'all? And this is from, I'm sure I can speak for Lady T as well. So I'm going to say this is from Tales Corner. To everybody out there, if you have a child or grandchild accomplishing something in their lives, you celebrate the hell out of them. You celebrate them as hard as we chastise them, as hard as we discipline them. We need to celebrate them. We need, I didn't mean to get here. I did not mean to get here.
No, I agree.
But,
I agree 100%.
You know, Treat, you go to Walmart or the grocery store or BK Miller, and it's a child excited to see something in the store that they love, and parents are, get over here. Don't touch that. Leave that alone. And I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to go in my pocket and just buy that. It's a bag of chips. You know, it's a fruit punch soda. Now, I can understand if your child have medical limitations where you would say no and that be that. But some of these adults, okay, take their everyday frustrations out on these children that do not deserve it. But then when they do something good, that little I had an aunt. I still have her, my auntie in North Carolina. Biggest heart, trees. I'm talking 75-inch TV heart, okay?
Okay.
But she was strict as a mug, Trees. I mean, like, yeah, one day we all got a whooping because my cousin was in the hallway making pig noises. And she just kept saying to us, stop that damn noise. Stop that noise. And my cousin was like, oi, 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 oi. And she was just like, it drove her crazy. And now that I'm grown, I can understand, you know, when you have the adult problems weighing on you and you don't have an answer or a solution, you know, anything that distracts your thought pattern can drive you a little nuts, can make you go above and beyond, you know? I've told you, you know, I've whipped Emmanuel and then came in the room and had to stay away from him for an hour, Tree, because I was in here bawling like him. And Reese's like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, you know, I hate beating my son. I hate beating my son. But when I step outside, Trees, and the mature individuals or the adults, for those of you who don't understand what I'm saying, say to me, your son has so much respect. I really enjoy talking to them. It's an old guy around the neighborhood who hired Emmanuel to come and set up his Roku television. And he was just like, Mac, I tell you, every time I talk to the little boy, it's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, that won't be a problem, sir. And he's like, it's a breath of fresh air. And he said, Mac, the thing that lets me know that it's real is he does it whether he knows he's being watched or not. And I'm like, what do you mean?
That's the best part.
Yes, yes. And it was because I asked him to explain that. And he said, well, you know the kids play right out here outside my house. And I can hear his buddies and their language and all of these things, and I wait to hear your son's voice. And when I do, your son is the one saying, man, I ain't tripping off, y'all. I'm about to roll because they doing too much. See, I like to think, Therese, that doesn't just come from chastising and disciplining, but celebrating as well. He does not want to disappoint me. He does not want me to come down on him. So what does he do? He moves respectfully. He moves in a manner of which he was taught. He was taught, I can recall my mother saying, don't get out here and embarrass me.
Yeah,
act like you got some home training. You know, little things like that. And I am so happy and so glad that my son has that, my daughter has that, and she's teaching that to Zuri and my little Lonnie Pop. You know what I mean? So, I'm going to celebrate the hell. Listen, they better hope I don't walk in there with a boombox, with Cool in the Gang, celebrate, good time, blasting. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Yes. My baby is going to know that you've done exactly what we've expected you to do and then some. Love is not a word to describe what I'm feeling for you right now. So I'm going to do my best to show you. And I think as parents, as grandparents, since we are grandparents now, as parents and grandparents, we have to do that. We have to show these kids. And you know, real quick, please, I'm not going to go on a long sermon. I'm not. I promise. I'm not. But I think if we had more parents celebrating, showing love, we'd have less nonsense out here with these children. Come on. Come on. If
I'm
we
with
had
you.
More parents.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
If we had more parents and grandparents, and we know, Trees, you know, grandparents are the age that they used to be, we'll say. You know, you got some
which
grandparents that are in their Yeah, well, it is what it is, you know.
It is.
We know the wrong in that. We know the wrong in that, but we can either sit here all day and go over what's wrong, or we can sit here all day and try our best to fix it. That's why I love when KK is right there beside you, and you say, say hi to Uncle Kill, and she say, hi, Uncle Kill, and girl, goosebumps. Just, hey, listen, the older I get, the more of a sucker I am for these children. I'm trying to tell you. Tang, I feel you, bro. I feel you, Tang. So, listen, they can call me all types of suckers that they want when it comes to these kids, because I ain't going to do nothing but agree with you. Real talk. So,
But you know that we're talking about the kids, that we're talking about the kids, right? So, Biscuit, right. I mean, 57, you know, he's like an uncle to all of our kids and like a great uncle to the grandkids. So, when they see his phone number come up on the screen, you should see that their reaction to him because he's in there. I mean, you know, he knows them. He holds conversations with them. He talks to them on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, when they do good things, he sends them gifts, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, he don't have kids of his own, but I'm quite sure if he would have had kids of his own, they would have been rotten because his kids is like his nieces and nephews. And my kids, which are his nieces and nephews as well, they rotten.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to 57, so
well,
I understand what you're saying, and I'm all for celebrating on every
you know,
level.
You know, in our culture, there are not enough celebrated little kids.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, and let me say this, okay? And I know this is not you, Trees. So this doesn't even apply to you, okay? Because I know you're a lady. You are a lady and represent yourself as a lady.
Facts.
Y'all women
facts.
Going to these graduations looking for a dude, cut it out. That's your child's day. Leave your skin. Nifty's or VFW or somewhere like that where they're going to be other adults. Now, again,
right.
If all you have is that to wear, God bless you, and I hope that your child will see the fact that you're sacrificing and being there. But if you got something that you could wear that's less revealing and covering your parts that need to be covered, think about that child, man. Think about that child. When that child on that playground playing with other kids, do you think he wants to hear those other kids say, your mama a hoe?
Right.
I'm going to keep it real. Think about that child.
Yeah.
Don't think about yourself, y'all. Do not think about yourself. Think about them babies. All right. That's enough. The graduations are Friday. Tell KK Uncle Tony wish he could be there, but I have to be at my grandbaby's graduation as well, you know.
Okay.
Her
I got you.
Celebrate her NBA finals. Yes, that bad.
Okay.
Yeah, boy. Okay. All right, y'all. On today's Kale's Corner episode, we will discuss the MLB's top-ranked rivalries, y'all. Yeah, yeah. We're gonna talk about who hates the I don't know what out of each other today, y'all. You know what I'm saying? And I wanted to do who was leading the divisions, but we really don't need to go into that just yet. So we'll cut it short with the MLB's top-ranked rivalries. Boy, oh boy. And listen, if y'all up on Tails Corner page like you should be, Lady T posted this, and I commented on it. And I said simply, we are going to talk about that. And that is the Mayweather and Gotti the Third fight and the fifth round melee that ensued.
It was just an exhibition fight, but yeah, we do need to talk about it.
We need to talk about that. Yes. We're going to discuss this NBA Game 5 Finals Edition. As we all know, Joker and Murray and Caldwell Pope and Gordon and those guys, you know, did what they needed to do. And I just want to know, was that game interesting to you? Was it boring to you? You know, what was your thought process watching this game? You know, I want to know that, you know. And then we're going to take a stroll over to the NFL, y'all. I got a crazy question for y'all today. And listen, I promise, if y'all can see me, I'm crossing my heart right now, okay? I promise that we're going to talk about the top 9 quarterback wide receiver combos for this upcoming 2023 season. And y'all, I'm telling you, I had to do this because number one was a stunner to me. I could not believe who they have as the quarterback and wide receiver number one combo coming up in this 2023 season. All right, y'all. So those are the topics. You can join Lady T and our online corner crew on Facebook Live at Kale's Corner, or you can also join Lady T, DMV Kale, and all our live in-studio family at 563-999-3782 each and every Tuesday and Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern time zone. Kale's Corner, we're keeping it real, is our only real. No, I'm talking about, I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Lady T, is there anything else you want to address before we go? to our commercial break here.
No, you hit all the points that I wanted to hit. Every last point you made, I was writing them down. I was checking them off. So you hit everything. So that's good. We can go to break.
That's what's up. 563-999-3782. Time for Lady T and TNT Faction to do this here.
Good. Me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't want to choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't f*** with you. I'm a boss, you a worker, I make bloody moves. Now she say she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi.
Hey, make the money moves, Key. All right, y'all. All right. We're going to go over some of these all-time rivalries in the MLB. Number one on the list, the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. And we all knew that. We all knew that one. Number two on the list, the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. Hey, listen, going over this list, y'all, this is one topic that has taught me something. Because I used to always be like, why don't you just poo-poo on the Dodgers all the time? And it's clear and present right now why she poo-poos on the Dodgers any chance given. All right, that's number two, the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. Number three, Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox. And listen, let me tell you something. The way they get down in Chicago, your boy would not be going to either stadium viewing either game. Listen, I think I would just listen, Trees. I'm serious because I don't know their team colors. So I think I would just go there wearing Burberry. I'm talking about the trench coat, Trees. I'm talking about the Burberry trench coat. Yeah, I'm talking about. All right, we also have the New York Yankees making an appearance again. And the L.A. Dodgers making an appearance again. So not only does San Francisco Giants hate the Dodgers, the New York Yankees hate the Dodgers. We have the Cincinnati Reds versus the Pittsburgh Phillies. They hate them, okay? That's the Cincinnati Reds and the Pittsburgh Phillies. And last but not least, well, you know what? I'm going to do the last two. The New York Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies. And the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. Now.
Yes.
I don't know about nobody else, but the fact that the Yankees appears on this list three times, I'm starting to think the Yankees really got some hate going on for these other teams. I mean, am I alone? Am I standing alone?
I'm
really thinking. Okay. I recall, and I wish 57 was on already, so he could, you know, because I know he knows about this Yankees-Red Sox rivalry, because this was one that I caught a glimpse into when the Yankees and the Red Sox were one of the times that the Yankees and the Red Sox were on the field engaged in a physical melee. You know what I mean? And I remember that the older manager from the Yankees ran on the field, and the Red Sox pitchers gave him like a grab chokehold and slammed him to the ground. And I was like, oh, they do get a little physical in baseball. There is a little action in baseball here. So, yeah. What about you, T? You remember any rival standouts?
I do, but I can't remember. You know, I had the surgery so on my brain, so I can't be sure. I got to look it up. But I was thinking about the one with the guy who came up for bat, and I think the ball hit him, and so he was great, let it go, but he took his foot and kicked the catcher, and then he charged the mound at the person, at the pitcher, and then all hell broke loose, and then everybody just came from both sides, and it was just a big mess after that. But I got to figure out what team it was, but I think it was the Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Like I said, y'all, when we try to walk down memory lane with this baseball thing, we need our baseball folk. We need our baseball folk. But I'm telling you, again, and this is I brought this topic up because for a very specific reason. I hear people like Marcus saying, you know, it's nothing going on, you know, it's too slow and all of that. And I'm like, bruh, trying to figure out more and more reasons for them to watch or get into it. And if the fact of a rivalry doesn't turn you towards the game a little more, and you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and read these last two because it's only 10. The Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs, the Boston Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays. And I was trying to think, Therese, does the Nationals have anybody that we hate or just don't like? And I would have to lean on the Phillies. It seems to me like
Washington. I was
going to
say maybe the Orioles.
I think that was more upper office. Yeah, I think the Orioles, I thought about them. But I think the Orioles were more a management thing, you know, because they were fighting over TV rights. So I think with the Orioles, it was more of a case of the owners not in cahoots with allowing TV rights. But I'm on the field and that diamond, I swear I just give it to the Phillies. It just seemed like that was the team that we always, you know, and then when we, Jason Worth, you know, I was like, for a long time, as a National, I called him Jason Worthless, you know, because I just did not like, seriously, I know personally, I had a beef with Philly. If nobody else did, I know personally I have a beef with Philly. And I remember, see, your boy loves to sneak away like Friday evening, Saturday evening, Sunday evening when we're playing the Phillies, or really when the Nats are playing in the summertime at any time. But I caught a Phillies game, right? And it was a couple of Philly fans in the stands, and they were just so outrageous and real extra. That's the word I'm going to use. They were real extra, and I was like, you know, Do these Bammers know they in D.C.? We don't play that. We do not play that here, you know. These Bammers better get themselves together, you know, real quick, or we going to get them together. And then when the Nationals started to win, it was like the Philly fans went from extra to ignorant, you know. So,
hell yeah.
I would say if the Nationals have any rivalry, it'll be the Phillies. It would be the Phillies in my book. And it might be stronger on the Nationals side than it is on the Phillies side, but we still hate them. Okay. So
okay.
Go over this list. I want to go over the list one more time. The number one most hate each other team rivalry. We have the Yankees and the Red Sox. Number two, the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. And Teresa, it is so funny to me every time I read that because I just say to myself, that's why Teresa can't stand them. Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox. Now, how y'all going to be from the same city and have a rival?
Right.
That's crazy to me.
Right.
Chicago all mixed up, man. The St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs, the New York Yankees and the L.A. Dodgers, Cincinnati Reds and the Pittsburgh Pirates, New York Mets and Philadelphia, New York Mets and the Yankees, the Brewers and the Cubs, the Red Sox and Tampa Bay Rays. Those are the top most noted rivalries. Now, let's go to the Bama who finally decides to call in. What's up, Huckleberry?
Yo, what's up, everybody?
Hey, hey.
How y'all doing today?
Everybody good?
I heard the list, Kel, and I'm telling you why I don't agree with the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox because one's in the American League, the other's in the National League. They don't play each other as much as two National League teams mm-hmm. would now. Chicago Cubs and St. Louis Cardinals, I agree with that right there. But the Yankees and the Mets, just because we're in the same city, but as far as a rivalry goes, we don't really have a rivalry with the Mets. We don't play each other enough. Rivalry is between the Red Sox and the Yankees. You know,
I disagree
with the list when they put American League's rivalry against National League because they don't play each other enough.
But the fact that you don't play each other a lot, but you're in the same city basically fighting for the same viewership or following, I think that would create a rivalry. Whether y'all both in the American League, the National League, or one in the American and one in the National, I think that would create more of a rival because we're in the same city. But I want your fans.
You know, the thing is that when you look at the market, every city that has two teams is big enough mm-hmm. to support that team, those two teams. You know, mm-hmm. so that's another reason why I disagree with it. You know, I mean, everybody got their opinion on how they feel about it, but the Mets got their own fan base, and they well supported. Mm-hmm. San Francisco, you know, they ain't got nobody else in their city. Los Angeles got the Angels down there with them, but they all big enough to support both teams. So that's why I kind of, mm-hmm. I don't know who put that list together, but I kind of disagree with it.
MLB.
Yeah, I figured that.
MLB put it out there. These are the teams, man. And because I watched you guys this weekend versus the Red Sox, it was like I found myself not just waiting for good baseball, but if something is going to break out. You know what I mean? Are we going to have one of them moments, you know? And I don't know if it's just because it's early in the season or what, but you guys played a pretty normal, decent game versus each other. Wasn't no extra.
Yeah, they beat us 2 out of 3. They got us this time.
I ain't want to bring that up for them. I was going to let that slide.
Yeah, you know how I keep it real as I can when it comes to baseball, sis, except when I'm messing with you.
Exactly.
But, yeah, they got us good this time. But, see, a rivalry game should make you feel like, if you in the baseball, should make you feel like almost like a playoff game. That's how exciting a rivalry game should be, no matter when it's played throughout the season.
Yeah, because when we play the Dodgers, like the Giants and the Dodgers, I really do think that it's a rivalry at that point sometimes, like with when we play the Dodgers, because we really don't like them and they really don't like us. And we always fighting for that number one spot in the league. I mean, in that series, we trying to always fight for the number one spot. So when we play them, I'd just be so anxious and nervous. Like, I'd be like, these MFs again. Like, I have to say initials, like, when we play them. Because I'm like, it's going to be some stuff going on. It's going to be tight game because they know us. So them. It's just always something when we play them. I just really don't like the Dodgers.
And see, here's another thing, you know, real quick. You look at the Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. Their rivalry goes all the way back to when both teams were in New York. Before they moved out to the West Coast, they had a rivalry back then because they both was fighting for the same pennant, and you know so, and they were both in the same city. The Yankees and Boston, their rivalry goes all the way back to the 1800s. You know, so I mean, those are rivalries to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and you know what? To add on your point, Therese, as far as Washington and Baltimore, I think that too is just two cities that just really don't like each other, you know, and it spills over to the mound onto the diamond rather. When once we both meet up. You know, now I'm not going to say how it's taken by all because I'm only speaking of the demographic that I am a part of, if you get my drift. And demographic that I'm a part of, they can't stand Washington because they hate everything Washington. And Washington doesn't like Baltimore. Because they hate everything Baltimore. And again, like I said, when it comes to the baseball, it's more the owners. The owners of the Nets were upset with the owners of the Orioles over TV rights, and that was a big clash of titans with these guys. So that spilled over as well into the organization. Go ahead, Kevin.
No, I kept up. You just said it, Kale. That was it right there. The guy when he bought, the guy that used to own the Orioles, he when y'all first started coming up and coming, he did everything to try to keep you from having your own television rights. We had to watch y'all on MASN because you couldn't see your own local TV because Baltimore bought all the rights and fought hard. They had to go to court. So you said it, Kale. You said it right there.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me bring another national fan in here, man.
Uh-oh.
Brother Tang, what up,
Big
bro?
Come on in here, Tang.
How everybody doing today? What's up, Big bro? Hey, Lady 1050 Seth and the online crew. How everybody doing?
It's Tuesday, kid, Tang, remember.
I know 50 does. I know what the day is. I know it ain't 30. Nah, but look right. Hey, 57, but y'all get right back at them this weekend, though. Even though they got y'all last weekend, y'all play this weekend. And y'all played a mess tonight. Yeah, that's that New York rivalry right there. Y'all
that
definitely played a mess tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, Big Bro, that's why I always mess with Lady T. That's why I always mess with Lady T. I always mess with say something about them Dodgers when they got it, because I know she don't like them, man.
Okay. Hey, like I said, this topic has taught me for real, because when I was reading it, San Francisco and the Dodgers, it just rung out in my head, and I was like, what is it about? I said, oh, yeah. Trees can't stand the Dodgers. That's right. She is San Francisco friend. She despises the Dodgers. And that doesn't be just so funny to me, man.
But look, going back to what you were saying earlier, I ain't trying to go back to it, but yes, I am a sucker for them grandkids, man. I'm done. You only had to worry about it. I had to mention
it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay, so Kale, let me tell you the story real quick. And I know it's going to be off the subject, but I just have to say this real quick. So the weekend, you asked me about the weekend. We went and got some food, and we went to dinner. And so we tasted fried cauliflower for the first time. And it was really, really good. So we was like, we're going to go get some more cauliflower, but we had the grandbaby with us, so we was going to drop her off and go get the cauliflower, right? Mm-hmm. We drop her off. She get one or two tears in her eyeball, right? She get tears in her eyes because she don't want to go in the house. Now we outside, we cuddling, we talking to her, we did all that, right? Tang, walked her to the door, to the house, we go in the house. Why we need it at 12 o'clock at night? No cauliflower, no nothing.
Hey,
please,
that baby needed you. That baby needed you, man. Listen,
man.
You got to understand what you have to understand is this. A moment, a simple moment, and the wrong decision can mess that baby up forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to make sure that each moment is right.
All pop-pops are terrible. Let me just say that.
Listen, Zuri called me, and I almost called off work this weekend. Do you hear me? She said, pop-pop, can I see you this weekend? And I said, baby, I already promised them that I would come and work this weekend. And she said, you can't get out of it. Oh, my God. That broke my heart. Hey, Zuri came in here and was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, Zuri want me to come over to her house this weekend. But I don't know, they told these people that I'm going to work. I said, man, they got me 5 days a week. That baby only want me for a few hours on one day. I should be able to give it to her. I should be able to give it to her. And she was like, baby, just call her and tell her you have to work. I said, I already told her that. That ain't working. She was like, pop out, come on. But listen, Trey, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. You keep doing what you're doing. Let's raise the difference. Yeah, you know I'm talking about? Let's raise the difference.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, sir.
Them grandbabies going to be the difference. Yeah, I'm talking about. So, yeah.
That's right.
I'm going to keep on spoiling. And 57, don't you say nothing, because I done heard the stories about Biscuit and how the kids love Biscuit.
He right, too. Roundface called him. He's in a gift. He's talking on the phone for 2-3 hours. He's doing the whole thing. He acting like a pop-pop, too.
I'm a sucker for the kids, man.
Yeah. Freedom, Look at here.
And look, his grandkids, their grandkids might as well be mine. I love all of them.
You know?
I told him.
That's my baby.
TT57 number come up on that phone, that's going crazy.
Hey, look at it.
Man.
My granddaughter called me and talked to me, and you would think I was in here watching one of them Feed the Hungry Dogs or the Abuse Pet campaigns, for real. Because I'd be in this joke trying to figure my way to make that baby right, make that baby gay. You know what I'm talking about? So, hey, listen. Tony, and I believe I speak for both of us, I appreciate reaching the grandfather pinnacle in my life because, one, I know brothers who haven't, who have grandkids,
right.
but they're either not in their grandkids' life or they've already left this earth. So, yeah, I'm going to spoil the heck out mine. You know what I'm talking about? Every chance I get.
Yeah.
And the beauty of grandkids, you can send them right back home.
Send them right
home. Okay.
Tracy's favorite one.
Oh, man.
We don't snap them back home. We don't go to keep them.
You can say, Pop going to get you some pancakes this morning. I'll get you the next time.
Yeah.
I can't.
All right.
All right, y'all. Hey, I done set Tang up so many times.
Yeah.
That's what's up. And I'm pretty sure he don't even mind. He like, boy, you
know he was glad.
Why
man,
he got to
go get his baby some
pancakes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was crazy.
Hey, listen. My
daddy said that used to be her. She said she'd do it all the time, too.
Yeah.
Hey, see, it ain't just Pop. It's my mom, too, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. And look, Mima allowed Man to completely change her name because he couldn't say Yvonne. We used to talk about Miss Yvonne. And all he would say is Mima. And so that name has stuck with her since Emmanuel was a child and first learning how to talk.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. So
that's how she got her name.
That's how she got the name Mima from Emmanuel.
I wonder if can nobody really name nobody
Mima
that for real.
You say
you
what?
Mima gonna get you.
you want to get Mima started? You mess with her nickname. Watch her go off for you. All right, y'all. 563-999-3782. We'll be right back, y'all. Good talk.
One, two, three, come on. We got DJ Kool and Duck. Get come fresh. On. Rock to the beat because we are the best. We got Ducky Fresh and Biz Markie.
Hey.
Rock to the beat in the place to be. We got Biz Markie and DJ 20. So hit it with your horns and make that money.
Hey, y'all, real quick, before we go into the next topic. I remember when your boy was aspiring to be a rapper, and we had to do a show in South Carolina. And DJ Kool and DJ 20, Adina Howard, when she was first starting out, all of us were on the same venue. And the people in the crowd was like, I don't like no DJ Kool. He talking about something. And fellas, if you ain't worried about the dude or what the lady say, because you just trying to get your man, they was like, he gay. He talking about trying to get his man. I was like, bruh, it's DC talk, man. It's DC talk. But they were seriously not liking DJ Kool because he said, you just trying to get your man. And y'all know, everybody from the city know what that means. But they was like,
right.
Nah, this Bama talking about getting his man. we ain't gay. I was like, boy. Anyway, the Mayweather-Gotti fight. We're going to discuss that now. It was an exhibition fight, you know, and
yes. It
ended in a massive brawl. The referee got in between them to stop the fight, and Gotti took exception to the referee stopping the fight. And the next thing you know, a melee broke out. And I must say, as long as I've been watching Floyd Mayweather, I'm sorry, y'all, it's funny to me, but those were the most punches I've seen Mayweather throw in years, seriously. I was just like, wow, you wait till you retire and in an exhibition fight to throw a series of punches? Oh, my goodness. It was crazy, y'all. It was melee at its best. At its best. Lady T, what you got to say about that mess?
Okay, so before I had to go back and watch it because it wasn't no advertisement. Well, it wasn't a whole lot of advertisement for it, so I didn't know it came on. So I went back and looked at it. And Gotti, he said that Mayweather was his idol growing up. And that he was going to beat his butt because that's his idol. And he wanted to defeat his idol. And, you know, he was just, you know, talking trash.
Understood.
And so I just looked at it as when trash talking goes wrong to me. Because in the first three rounds, he didn't even throw a punch. Like, he was running. He was leaning back on the thing. He wasn't throwing no punches. He was just trying to cover up. So they was talking so much. Like, you can hear the referee saying, y'all, just be quiet. And they was saying some stuff, apparently, in the ring, like, to the point where, Gotti was started choking Mayweather. He was started wrestling him. Basically, to me, he was wrestling. It looked like he wanted to wrestle more than box. So
okay.
I was like, well, why is he wrestling? Why are you not throwing some punches? Like, you know, so the ref was like, I'm gonna stop the fight. You keep doing it. I'm gonna stop the fight. Like he said, the ref kept saying that to him. Like, I'm gonna stop the fight if you keep wrestling. So
right.
Mayweather was laughing and he was throwing his little punches and he was laughing, talking trash, still talking trash back and forth. And so when that sixth round came, he really started choking him. Like, you could see him really choking him, and he was throwing punches, too, at this point. Like, Gotti was throwing punches, too. But you can clearly see that he wasn't a clear good match for Mayweather. Like, it just wasn't a good match. Like, I don't even know why he was in the ring with Mayweather. And I don't know. When he stopped the fight, now you want to throw a plethora of haymakers and all these wild punches and Mayweather. And so when he did that, everybody just swarmed in like flies. I don't know where all these people came from. They were just in the ring all at one time, and then Mayweather, he's standing on the rope. He laughing, you know, he pointing, he laughing. It just was a mess. Gotti shouldn't have never been in the ring with Mayweather in the first place. It was just a mess. From the thing, it was a mess.
Okay,
the whole thing.
Okay. Tang, what did you think about it, Tang?
Honestly,
yeah, I saw,
big
I saw.
Bro, I didn't even see it. I didn't even know nothing about it. I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't get to see that. But I heard y'all say it's on Kale's Corner because I'm going to definitely go on there after I look at it. I'm going to comment then.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's see, Marcus. What's up, Marcus?
Oh, hey, Marcus.
What's up, family? How y'all doing?
Hey,
what's
hey.
Up, bro? You out there hanging? You out there hanging with the stars, huh?
Okay,
yeah,
right.
I be running into him, bro. I be running into him.
That's
Hollywood.
Right. That was a good run into. That was a good one to run into right there. Yeah, that's a good one to run into right there.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fan, man, 100%.
Me too, bro.
Yeah.
Me too, Mark.
Yeah, I'm a fan as well. Since Love Jones, that dude was a dude that I admire. Mayweather Gotti, man. Come on, man. Give me your expertise on this thing, man. Do you think it was staged? Because I'm hearing now that it was a staged exhibition, that it wasn't really a serious, I mean, we know it wasn't a serious fight, but go ahead.
Well, this is how a lot of people haven't been paying attention. Ever since Mayweather did that exhibition with the young boy, man, I felt like dug in his ass a little bit. Excuse my French. One of the Logan brothers, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah, Paul Logan. Yeah.
So look, ever since then, he been fight. He didn't stay in the gym. Like, he getting in shape. If y'all ain't watched, he was really embarrassed from that fight. He really was.
Yeah.
So every 3 months now, he's doing one of these exhibitions, and he's fighting all over. And he's in pretty good shape. If you watch him, he's like the Floyd Mayweather. He's like an older version of himself, but he's in tip-top shape. He's always ready like he was back in the day. You know?
Okay. You're right.
So,
right.
It's
so Marcus,
not, it's not that.
Marcus,
it's
I got a question.
Yeah.
My buddy said that somebody on the Mayweather team have a weapon.
Oh, yeah, they all strapped.
Okay.
They all strapped.
Come on.
I didn't see one, but okay.
Yeah, they all strapped. Yeah, they all.
I know.
Strapped.
I seen the only thing is that. Like, I seen them bammers coming over the top rope and trying to fight everybody in Gotti's corner, and I'm like, them some big dudes, man.
He beefed up his security when that whole incident happened that I told you about. I ain't gonna go into details or names, but when the incident happened, and back in the day. With one of his former promoters. And when that incident happened, he beefed up his security majorly.
Okay.
Yeah, them TMT dudes be all over. Even his promotional team, some of his team leaders, when they go out and about, they got TMT security around. Them dudes be having K's, man. They be having semi-automatic weapons out there joining.
For real?
At the gas station. Yeah, at the gas
station. For real? Is that serious?
Oh, yeah. Is that serious? Mm. Because Mayweather is known for carrying around bags of cash, man.
He's a lick.
When you bring that into the equation.
If you meet Mayweather with his bag of cash and he don't have his security, that bag of cash is yours.
Good. You good?
Nah, I'm good. Because I don't want nobody knocking on my door.
Even if I tell him, hey, bro, give me that cash, and he let him whoop my ass. I let him whoop me. That's still a bag of cash for me.
That's still a bag of
cash for me because he put his hands on me. He's a lick.
Either way.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
basically. I got it.
Hey, Lady T, that's a Renaissance man for you right there. He taking pictures here, Lorenz Tate, and telling you the definition of a lick. That's a Renaissance man right there, if I ever heard one. All right,
I got you.
Let's go to Brother Ted. What's up, Ted? Hey, ain't nothing to it. How y'all doing, Kel? How y'all doing, Kel Corner? Hey,
what's up,
man? Mark and White. Hey, everybody. Hey. Tang Marcus, Lady T, Kel, everybody who's on. I don't know who's all on, but hey, everybody.
Okay.
Hey, like Marcus said, you say Lawrence Tate from the Shy, you know, like he explained the lick. He told it perfectly. Like you said, that's a mark. He's a Vic. You know what I mean? Easy. He's a victim, man, and he's definitely known to carry 100,000 and more in them bags, you know. So, but I didn't see the fight. I didn't see none of that. I just seen, you know, what they had on the news, and it was a steel picture, so I didn't see any action or anything. But you can believe.
It's posted on Kel's Corner if you want to go back and look at it. I posted it, the whole thing, on Kel's Corner.
Okay, thanks. I will do that. And so, you know, and I can believe as far as being staged, you know, that's a possibility. That ain't too far-fetched. So, but like I said,
right.
Like Tang said, I don't know, you know, I need to see it to really, you know, assess it and make a comment on it, you know. But you know, it's just, if exhibition is definitely staged, you know, ain't nobody going to get hurt. You know, definitely Mayweather ain't going to get hurt. So, you know, and...
I purposely left this comment for Lance. 57. I know you didn't see the fight, but I know you followed Kel's Corner. So where do you stand? I mean, we know it was fake because it was an exhibition. But let me say that first. We know it was fake because it was just an exhibition. But where do you stand with it?
I agree with Sis. I don't even know. It had to be a payday for Mayweather. You know, I don't know why he would got in there with Gotti. But all I saw was the little bit right before the fight broke out. They were in the ring boxing at the time. To me, it looked like, I'm like, wait, Gotti trying to get at Mayweather. You know, but
yeah.
He wasn't doing any damage or anything. And then all of a sudden, the ref, you know, the ref's trying to stop it, and Gotti didn't want to stop. And then the next thing you know, it was crowded and everybody up in the ring, you know, and that right there is, to me, is that's why boxing is so fake now, you know, because you got all them people up in the ring. Now anybody can get hurt, you know, like Marcus was saying, everybody up in there strapped. You know, which they shouldn't be if that's the case, because you don't know whose brain going to snap and say, you know what, I'm shooting everybody.
Everybody.
So, yeah, that's all I saw. So I don't think it's, you know, you're going to need to control it better. I mean, so many people jumped up in the ring, man.
About 100 people was in that ring. 100.
Yeah, that was just too much.
It really
hey,
looks like
You sound like that dude on You sound like that dude on White Man Can't Jump. Y'all don't remember that scene when he said, "You know what?" When they tricked him in that basketball game, he said, "You know what? I'm gonna go get my new gun." They was on the basketball court. He said, "I'm just gonna shoot everybody."
Yeah, I remember that.
Y'all gotta understand the purpose of like all of those guns and all of that protection. What you said about him being a made dude is so correct at this point. Floyd Mayweather is a retired man. He's an old senior citizen as it pertains to boxing, right? When he decides he's going to have an exhibition,
right,
he grosses everybody and their mama in the parking lot is going to make money off of this. Off of this.
Exactly.
Day. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
they said his purse was between 10 and $10 to $20 million for this.
And you got to be one of the smartest fighters out to ever come along, man. Because making that money, he know how to make that money.
$15 million ain't even close to what his promotional. He promoted it. The promotional team. The promotion. Mayweather promotion. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, the purse ain't nothing compared to what he does now. You know what I'm saying? What he is now.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. He got
his promotion.
He got his. Yeah, he got his foot. He got his foot in. I say, when I say he's tied in, he's tied into the controlling factor. You know what I'm saying?
He got paid three times last night.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But $10 million ain't no nothing to just go. That ain't no money.
Exactly.
That's still some money.
I take it.
Hey. Oh, hey, look. Hey, hold on. It's something for him too, Mark, because that adds on to his. As my aunt used to say, that adds on to his kitty. So he can take that and give. If it's like that, they fly around the world, party with it, go down to the casino. He ain't lost a thing because his bank account is still up there. So $10 million to him is like $100,000 to us.
When he gambles on credit, bro. He don't gamble with money. He gambles on credit.
You always got to pay your credit back, though, bro. You still got to pay your credit back.
Mayweather got a video out right now, right? Y'all can look this up. He got a video out right now. He only wear his clothes, not his clothes, but his tennis shoes. When he wear a pair of tennis shoes, he just wear them that one time. That's it. Mm. And he got a storage room in his house. He got a storage room of all the shoes that he's only worn one time that he will never wear again. Sir, please and thank you. I will take those off your hand for you, please.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, you know what else he do when he break 100? When he break 100, some people don't keep change.
He don't
want to
change that.
He don't keep. When he break 100, he give it away.
He's broke.
See what I'm saying?
He just give the rest of it.
I'm still soaking white tea and everything.
You know?
Facts.
You know?
I
still got the toothbrush going to work every night for my shoes the next day. Hey, geeky boy.
Okay, I'm gonna tell y'all something else. Here's another food for thought. You know he got out there in Vegas, he got a bunch of cars. They all black, right? And he do everything schematically. So if his house, like he got his drapes, he had all the drapes black in the house, right? Everything blacked out. He has a duplicate, almost identical house in Florida that they built, right? He got an issue. But he got all white. So he got the same car that he has in Vegas that he has in Florida, and it's all white. It's all ghost out, right? So if he got a Bentley in Vegas, he got a ghost version in Florida. When he changes, when he have him change all the drapes in the house in Vegas, he have him change all the drapes in Florida, even though he ain't there.
That's just too much money. That's just too much money, for real. That's just way too much money. For real.
We watched the exhibition because the man is 50-0. We want to see him lose once. We want to see him lose something one time. And like mm-hmm. Stephen said, the man is a marketing genius. He's a marketing genius right down to the longevity of his career. We just want to see him beat. What was the movie when the Baba said, "Man, just let me beat you one time." He's like, "If he beat me up, just let me beat you one time, man." That's how it is now. Everybody wants to see him lose just once in some way.
Yeah.
So that's why 50 Cent got so much clout and notoriety when he brought to the table that the man couldn't read, you know, and picked at him and made fun of him for not being able to read. And Mayweather was like, that's okay, I can count.
He can count.
Yeah, I can count. Yeah, all I got to say is he got to be trusting the folk around him, because when you got money like that, you got a whole lot of reading you got to do and follow. So, hey,
he can
got
read
good
now.
People
he
all
a,
around.
He He's in high school. He can read now. Yeah.
He went to night school, or he had the teacher come to his house. Did he have a black
teacher
come
to him
in Vegas? Did he have a black teacher in Vegas and a white teacher in California? Did he keep that same mantra going
in Florida?
In Florida.
Yeah, in Florida.
Hey, money's biggest enemy is the IRS. If you just learn to pay the IRS as you're going along, you'll be all right, because they wait till you get up there, then they come for theirs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, but he incorporated.
He had no problem with them yet.
He did well.
Yeah, he ain't had no problem with them yet. Thank God.
Well, that's good. That's good. But all I got to say is, Mayweather, if you have – more situations like this during your fight is going to cramp your status, and people are not going to want. But and I mean, you're still going to have people that's like, you know, I'm for the drama. I'm with the drama. I want to see the drama. Yeah. But the true boxing fans, they're not going to waste their time spending their money on this nonsense. They're not. They're not. And the fact that this thing, I'm telling y'all now, and hey, thank you, Brother Ted, for the invite. We party over Ted's house Saturday night like it's 1999 for my sister's birthday, Ted's wife. Happy birthday, Sheila, again. And so we didn't get an opportunity to see it, but there really wasn't a whole lot of advertisement on it. And the thing about it, we were in Ted's man cave, and his brother was like, what you want to watch? And I was like, ain't no boxing on. And we didn't see anything about Mayweather and Gotti at all, you know? So, bruh, come on, man. You got to do better. You got to do better, man. You got to give people what they want, for real. And that wasn't it. That was not it. All right, great conversation. 563-999-3782. When we come back, Game 5, NBA Finals. Let's talk about it. Yes,
indeed.
I used to let the mic smoke. Now I slam it when I'm done and make sure it's broke. When I'm gone, no one gets on, cause I won't let nobody press up and mess up the scene I set. I like to stand in a crowd and watch the people wonder, damn. But think about it, then you understand. I'm just an addict, addicted to music. Maybe it's a habit, I gotta use it. Even if it's jazz or the quiet storm, I hook a beat up, converted into hip-hop form. Write a rhyme and graffiti in every show you see me in. Deep concentration, cause I'm no comedian. Jokers are wild, if you wanna be tame, I treat you like a child, then you're gonna be named another enemy, not even a friend of me. Cause you'll get fried in the end when you pretend to be competing. Cause I just put your mind on.
Hey. NBA Finals, y'all. As we've already announced, the Denver Nuggets took game five. I'm going to go over it real quick. The Nuggets won game one, 104-93. The Nuggets won game two, 109-94. The Heat won game two, 111-108. Then the Nuggets won game three, 109-94. The Nuggets won game four, 108-95. And the Nuggets took game four, the deciding game, 94-89. And if you follow me on social media, You know what I'm already saying about this.
Game Jimmy 5 is Butler. A deciding game.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's game not what four, I said.
You said game
that's four. That's not what I said.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No,
we know what you
I said that. Okay. Yeah, game 5, the Nuggets took 94-89. 5-point victory. And if you follow my social media and Kale's Corner, you know what I said. Jimmy Butler owes his whole team an apology. Coach, all the coaching staff, and players. And players. Because, now, and Trees made a point that the man was hurt. The man was hurt. But my thing is this. If you're that hurt, where that is all that you can put out for your team, bro, you should have sat down. You should have sat down, bro. Because being out there on that court did nothing for your team. Nothing. And all that talk and you had a name patent and everything, Hemi Buckets or whatever, you know, and, bro, you were very, very small at a time that they needed you to be big. That's all it boils down to. And Treese, to your point, I try to remember a NBA champion that didn't or wasn't dealing with some type of injury or something going on prohibiting their play. But they still found a way to pull. They still found a way to get the job done. And I think Jimmy Butler, his attitude, his demeanor, and his play said that he checked out. He checked out on them boys, and that wasn't cool. That wasn't cool. And I like Jimmy Butler.
Let me just say this, because I know – everybody thinks Jimmy, you know, checked out or whatever, last game. If it was not for Jimmy Butler, eighth seed, it just him and Bam out of Bayou, before all of this, you couldn't name nobody else on the team. Everybody else was undrafted. So it was like he was all these people on his back this whole time, everybody on his back. Yes, he didn't show up for this last game. He did not show up. What I am saying is I'm not going to drop everything at his feet. That's not what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm not – he played terrible in the first three quarters. He played terrible. But the fourth quarter, he brung it, and he did what he had to do because he was dragging in the first three quarters. But Jimmy Butler is still going to be, to me, this is my opinion, he's still going to be Jimmy Buckets for me. He's not a number one, and there is no number one on that team. They don't have a number one on that team. Everybody is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They don't have a number one. You know what I mean? Like everybody else, like for the playoffs, do you know that Jimmy Butler scored 592 points? The next person higher than him, the only person higher than him is the Joker. And he scored 600 points. Not a big difference, right? Joker got way more help on his team. The team is better suited for him. These other players, like everybody keeps saying they're undrafted, but they're playing good. They're undrafted, but they're playing good. But they're not playing good enough to be a number one. That's why they're undrafted. So who else is on that team that's playing like a number one should play? Jimmy Butler is not a big-time scorer, and when he do, they lose.
Okay.
So,
my only question is, where was that argument when he scored 56 in the same playoff
did they lose?
Run? Where was that argument in the game 7 versus the Celtics when he showed out. We didn't hear any of the.
It was still my argument. It was still my argument, but you can't argue something when they win. I can't just say he ain't got nobody else on the team because they won. They won against some people that didn't really want to win. Tatum ain't no everybody look how bad everybody got on Tatum because he couldn't pull it out. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do that. Now the everything shifted towards Tatum. Like he wasn't the number one. He can't never bring it. We need to make him in and Jaylen Brown be one person, you know, for them to get over the hump, this, that, and the other, woo, woo, woo. It got to be a big three. It got to be a big three in order for them to win. They not going to win with just him and Adebayo. It's not going to happen. It was a good run.
What was wrong with Hero?
Can I say something?
He was sitting on the bench. He was sitting on the bench. That was what was wrong with him. He was sitting on the bench with a broke hand.
Okay. Go ahead, 57.
I'm not going to take away from what Jimmy Butler did throughout the playoffs up until this series. Give him his due.
Okay.
The Jimmy Butler that I saw in this series, not just last night, but from what I saw, other than game one, I never saw a star on your team. I don't care if you're not the superstar as far as the NBA goes, but you are the star of your team right now. You're the one that's carried them all the way up to this point. Now you're passing up shots when you're clearly in the lane with nobody there, and you won't even take the shot. You know, Jimmy Butler did a lot of things that weren't Jimmy Butler-like in this series.
Yeah.
And I said that at game number one. I said, Jimmy Butler, and I said it jokingly to, I think me and Tane was talking privately, I said it jokingly. I said, man, he just sold out because you gave up shots. And I ain't going to just put it on your ankle because you was on the floor. You stayed on the floor, you know. So I'm not going to give him, just like I'm not going to take away. Let me finish. I'm not going to take away from him what he did to get him to there. I'm going to give him all his credit. But, brother, in the championship game, when you're supposed to go all out, to win, and you're the star, you had other people on your team who outplayed you, who came off the bench, like, what's his name, Lowry? Lowry outplayed Jimmy Butler the whole series. He's the one that kept them in the game. Adebayo outplayed him, you know? So, yeah, and I'm gonna shut up. But, yeah, the other guys that came on, the guys they say that they undrafted or whatever, they played good in some games, but when the rubber met the road, they didn't know what to do. They're not stars, and they were playing a team full of stars. You know, so that's where they lost out. But Jimmy Butler was supposed to step up, and he didn't.
I agree with everything you said. I agree with everything you said 100%. I agree. But the only thing I don't agree with – they outplayed him in this series, but he has been outplaying them this whole since the AC.
I said I give him his due.
I'm agreeing with you, but I'm just taking it one step further. He has just been outplaying everybody the whole series and their AC. So, I mean, I agree with what you said. He should have stepped up.
Well,
I do agree.
I'd give Denver the props over Miami in that as well because Denver was the only team that swept somebody.
Yeah.
They just ran
into a better team to me. They just ran into a better team, the bench was longer. They had more people on their team that was well rested. Jimmy Butler went to seven. They never went to a seventh game. So they were just they ran out of gas to me. Like, the whole team just ran out of gas.
And something you said,
including Jimmy Butler. He was the first one driving. He ran out of gas first.
On the East, Miami played teams. They didn't really want to go to the championship and win. Philly was just happy with Embiid being MVP. and Tatum and them,
come on, man.
They just felt because they was back in the playoffs that they were going to float all the way to the finals. And it wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with I agree.
I said from the beginning with the Celtics that Udoka move was going to come back to haunt them. And I know this was a young coach, and he did the best that he could do, but I believe Udoka was more in the mind of a Tatum and a Brown and Horford to where as though, and Marcus Smart, to where as though those guys would have put a little bit more effort in to it. But that's just my opinion. Come on in here, 007. Yeah. What's up, bro?
007.
Hey, happy Tuesday. Hey, I was mad at Jimmy Butler too. Then I was thinking they weren't even supposed to be here. You were AC playing the number one seed. Yeah, I was in my feelings too. I wanted to throw my TV, but AC playing the number one seed. Playing the number one seed. I mean, right. Really, I have no business betting for AC being number one seed, who was destined to get their first ring in the first place. I'm not knowing Denver is the real underdog story because, you know, all them years they've been trying to get a ring, they never came close. I feel bad for Carmelo Anthony because he's not daring that team to get receive that ring. That's my take on the finals.
Hey, you know what? Can we stop with the 8 seed situation? These were the last two teams playing. Your seed means nothing. Your seed means nothing, especially if you continuously climb the mountain and plant your flag as the Heat did throughout this playoffs. I think it's a discredit to them to remind them and everyone else that they were the 8 seed. So what? They didn't play as an 8 seed until they met Denver.
I agree, Kim.
Until they met Denver. And then when they met Denver, all hell broke loose. But if you guys recall when the Nuggets and the Lakers were in game three, and Joker just threw that three-pointer up, and it looked like it was about to hit the shot clock and everything.
Yeah.
And then that thing was nothing but the bottom of the net. You guys recall me saying, them Bama's destined. They're a destined team, man. He did it too many times. He didn't take a whole lot of threes, but the ones he took, they were successful. So we can't really call that luck, can we? We can't call that luck.
No.
Come on in.
I guess it's skill.
Yeah.
So, Go ahead.
I'm just going to say the way that thing was hitting the bottom of the net, that thing looked practiced. It didn't look like no luck to me. That joint looked practiced. But go ahead, Trey.
So y'all know, I always have a little surprise for us on here on Kale's Corner. Kale didn't even know this. Last Tuesday when we said – who was going to be, what was the score was going to be, and how many games this and the other. 57 said 7 games. Tane said 7 games. Aaron said 4-2. Darius said sweep. Bud said Denver and 4-2. Kel said Denver 4-2. I said Miami 4-2. 007 said Miami sweep. Red T said Miami 4-2. Mom Betty said Miami. Marcus said Denver. Reese said Denver. Mima said Miami. The only person that was on the money was Nas. He said Denver in 5. and Miami will only win one game. He said 5-1. They're going to take it in the six games or whatever. So he was the closest one to winning, I mean, you know, to having it right. So we're going to give Nas a Kel's Corner t-shirt.
All right. Can't wait for the
draft. Nas won a Kel's Corner t-shirt of his choice. He just needs to let me know what size he wears and what color he wants.
Right. Now, Susan, I figured you was doing that. You said you asked everybody how many games and who's going to win. I figured you was doing that. But, hey, man, listen.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I'll give this to Miami. They were short man, and they still fought.
Yeah.
They didn't just get down. Jimmy Butler was the only one that I will say, like 57 said, laid his sword down. But everybody else was willing to fight. Everybody, and Kyle Lowry, he didn't give up until he tried that desperation three. It clanged off the rim, and he just immediately shake Murray's hand and told him congratulations. So, you know,
I give them.
Go ahead.
Well, I beg to differ, man, because, I mean, Jimmy was, well, Lady T said at first, Jimmy was tired, man. He was dog tired, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was injured. He was playing injured. Yeah, you know, he was playing, giving it all he got. He was gimped. He was laboring. Okay, dog tired. So I blame this as far as the coach, as far as not giving him rest, you know, when you should. Like you say, take him out if he's not giving you nothing. If you see these labor, okay, then that's one thing. And then, as far as you saying, he laying down this war. He was the last one that took that last desperation shot. He was the one that took them last like 2 to 3 shots or whatever. He got stuck in trying to go too deep in the lane, and the thing was also Spruce. He's not moving. He's moving like an old man. You know, he finally just said, "Oh, let me move." You know, make a passing lane so he can give you a passing lane. Then nobody really moved. They just stood there. So, and that was a bad pass because he didn't have no pass. Didn't nobody move for a pass. So, but he threw it away. That's the mistake. He threw it away, but then nobody did move though, man.
Let me just answer that though. Nobody moved. Because everybody knows that is Jimmy's shot. Everybody was expecting him to take that shot, right or wrong.
But he couldn't take the kill. But he couldn't take the shot because he slipped. He went in too deep. Okay? Because, and also, let me finish. Also, when he was, remember we was talking, he was getting in the lane, a lot of shots were short. You know, all them shots were short until he came on the run and hit them 2 3-pointers from that same side that he tried to take that last shot. But prior to that, them little 12-footers were short, you know. And we even said that before because I remember we said, man, look at that one. He ain't got no arc on it or nothing. It's flat. You know, and then that other one he came when he threw the ball away, he got in too deep. He slipped. And he hopefully he kept his pivot fit. Glad they didn't call the travel. And he couldn't do nothing. He couldn't raise up on no shot. And like
well,
I say Bruce.
Let me say this. He had the Sarah Connors effect when she was running down the hallway and saw the Terminator and slipped. Stop.
You know what? I'm done. I'm down with you.
That's what Jimmy.
I'm down with you.
He saw Joker standing there, and he was in too deep and slipped. That's what it was.
Okay, Kel, can I finish my point? Can I finish my point? I'm not denying that. That's what I said. He did. I'm not denying that. Okay, whoever he saw the Terminator, the Jason or whatever, he did that. And they clogged him down and they clogged him down and he slipped. But like I say, didn't nobody move because they had, you know, they didn't nobody move. So Spruce was right there and he finally moved. So that's when KP was right there and Jimmy passed it to KP. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't his mistake, but to say that he threw down his sword, no. He made mistakes, yes. But he took that last desperation shot with 16 seconds left when they, you know, had a three, trying to take that three.
That was loud.
He was tired. I can't say he threw
it
on his foot.
I ain't going to say he threw a sword down. But he laid it down real gently. He laid that bad boy down real gently.
And that was Kyle Lowry. Dude, that was Kyle Lowry that took that last shot.
Jimmy Buckets who took the last shot.
Okay.
That was Jimmy Buckets. Kyle Lowry took a shot before. That was Jimmy took the last shot.
I'm talking about the shot to end Miami's possession. When the game was over, it was Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, that was Jimmy Buckets took that shot.
That was Jimmy.
He took the shot.
With 16 seconds left, then they paid it. I couldn't even finish my comment, but go ahead, man. Y'all good.
The point is, we expected to see with all of, and I know it was more the media than Jimmy Butler. I know that. I'm aware of that. But we expected to see a different version of Jimmy Butler. That's why people are under the impression that he laid the sword down. That's why we're under the impression that he quit on his team, because we were expecting a different Jimmy Butler. That's all I'm saying.
I want to give congratulations to a Georgetown alumni, Jeff Green, for getting his title. And I want to shout out to David Thompson for being out in the audience when Denver won there. I couldn't care less who won the thing.
Real quick.
Hey, good job.
Did Jeff Green play for the Wizards one season?
Not Jeff Green, but Caldwell Pope.
No, I believe Jeff Green played for the Wizards one season as well.
He did play for the Wizards one season.
Yeah,
I don't know what season that was.
I don't remember that.
He played 2018, 2019.
Yeah, so that's four ex-Wizards that won a championship without the team. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So, congratulations to Denver. You know, I was laughing because they were saying that Denver is going to party all night, and everybody was like, yeah, but where? You know, because it's really nothing to do in Denver. Everything's too cold. It closes early and all that. But it's summertime in Denver.
It's nice out there now as it is here.
It's a joke.
They showed them this morning at 6 o'clock. They still crowded out there on the street. Still party.
It was a joke, you all.
I didn't know, man. You went from the sports to the Terminator and homeboy singing "We Are the World." I didn't know where we were going.
Well, follow me close.
You know what?
That's how you don't get lost. Follow me close. You don't get lost, bro. That's all. All right, y'all. Great conversation. Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. Congratulations to Brother Nas. Yeah. And we got to remember, Therese, when Nas called back in, we got to let him know that he won. All right, y'all. 563-999-3782 is the number. We'll be right back.
Three in the morning, the pancake house. Come on. Four in the morning, we'll be rolling to my house. Five in the morning, the lights go out. Six in the morning, you can hear us start to shout. Seven in the morning, she'll be calling me cab. Eight in the morning, talking about the pussy head. Nine in the morning, and she just hit the home. Talking about the overnight scenario. Three in the morning, the pancake house. Four in the morning, we'll be rolling to my house. Five in the morning.
probably the third
best quarterback and wide receiver combo. I don't know. I don't know. You know what, y'all? I think this list is just to whet our chops, to have us in the beginning, before the season even starts. I think this list is just to have us like, my quarterback going to be better than that. My quarterback and my wide receivers going to be the top. Watch what I tell you. Because, Tank, no offense, but to put Dak Prescott on this list, I think it's offensive to everybody else that's on here. And Brandon Cooks, good wide receiver, not taking anything away from him. But Dak has shown us his in-depth capabilities when it comes to the crunch, when things come down to it. Now, this list is just about numbers. Okay, they can have big numbers during the regular season. But out of this list, who do you think will take it far? And I'm hearing the Jets. Everyone is saying the Jets are the favorite in their division, in the AFC, period. The Jets are the team to beat because of Aaron Rodgers. But again, I say we haven't seen this team show chemistry, camaraderie, or any type of togetherness at all. So I really need to know what went into you guys making this list. We don't even know if Odell Beckham is going to finish the season. Seriously. And yes, Lamar Jackson, a great arm as a quarterback. He has a great arm. He can make all the throws. But he also has a propensity to pick him up and run all the time. So I just don't see. I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, help me out, y'all. Justin Fields and DJ Moore, really?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
This whole list is crazy. This whole list is crazy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Everybody is new with the wide receiver. So I think it was more of a hope, a wish list for these people because nobody has been proven to do anything. They haven't played together. Nobody but Lawrence and Ridley, them the only two. So I think it was just one of those, let's put it out there and let's see what we pick everybody's brains and see what they think about it. It's not nothing that's written in stone and, you know, it's not nothing that has already been proven. So everything is new, right. And I think they're just trying to throw it out there just to see what all the analysts are going to say about it. So that's what I think.
This one is saying.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking nothing else.
Absolutely. Because no other way does this to me. In no other way. And then you only go with nine. What about the top 10? I thought the top usually goes either the top five or the top 10.
Right. That's how you know it's BS.
Adams, I have confidence in Devontae Adams. But they're saying Jimmy Garoppolo didn't even pass his physical. So
he passed, he just got hurt.
Well, he's hurt again? Well, how can he be on anybody's list? How can he be on anybody's list, man?
How was Jones and Juju Smith-Schuster on there? How was Mac Jones on there? Like, I don't even know. The list is having us do exactly what we're doing right now, trying to figure out why these people are on the list. That's why the list is out. They have nothing else to talk about, so they have to put out something, a narrative for us to talk about something.
But you know what? I would have understood more if they would have said top nine quarterback and tight end combo. Because the tight end in today's game is used a little more than most of these wide receivers. We've seen Kansas City win two Super Bowls with the quarterback and the tight end. You know?
Kelsey.
So it's like, okay, why? You guys are you're breaking the NFL rule. And that rule is what you do in one place, we're not just going to expect you to do it in a new place. You follow me? It's crazy to me that they would be just this irresponsible. Again, I love Lamar Jackson. Y'all heard me. When all of that mess was going on in the beginning, I said, no, it'll cost us too much. But then when I saw the price going down and after the draft and they were still having problems, yeah, you can bring Lamar Jackson to Washington. We'll take him here in D.C.
All right.
But Odell Beckham hasn't even caught a pass. I don't even think they've practiced together yet. Because the veterans don't start reporting until today, June 13th. That's when veterans start reporting to camp. So what?
I don't get it.
Again, Trevor Lawrence and Calvin Ridley, maybe. Is this going to be Trevor Lawrence come out year? Is this going to be that season that we see the true sunshine? Or is it going to be another, I don't want to call last year a failure for those guys because they made it to the playoffs. So I don't want to call last year a failure. But Trevor Lawrence did leave to be desired. I'll put it that way. He left a lot on the field to be desired. And Derek Carr, you know, you're talking about a quarterback who's coming off issues with his last team. And I know he's motivated to get out there and prove himself and show everybody that he is the top quarterback that he claimed to be coming out of college. But seriously, dude, you got to prove that. You can't just
say. Derek Carr had a good season last year. Derek Carr had a very good season last year for Detroit.
Before he was benched.
So I don't think he got to prove anything this year.
He started with a new team, 57.
Not
he
this
started
year.
With a new team. Derek Carr.
I'm sorry, you know what?
He ain't coming from Vegas.
Who's the
He comes from Raiders. Raiders.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the quarterback for Detroit. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, my bad.
Yeah, because
I apologize.
He got bent. Derek Carr got a lot to prove.
Yeah.
He was bent. And petty arguments or whatever between himself and management, you know, who's to say all of that is out of his system? And Justin Fields, to me, the book is still out on him. The book is still out
on him. I like Justin
Fields. Yes. Mm-hmm. We saw flashes.
Mm-hmm.
And plays made by Justin Field that you were like, oh, okay, yay, that's what's up. But then there was other plays made or not made that we were like, okay, yeah, he's still a second-year man. He is a second-year man. Chicago don't really have the necessary weapons around him, as we all agree on. You know, Chicago needed a new offensive line, a tight end, and they have a receiver now in DJ Moore. But the question is, you know, will they be able to protect Justin Fields? You know, will they be able to give him time to be that top nine quarterback? You know? And Baker Mayfield, I wouldn't care if you get Jerry Rice, Steve Largent,
I can't.
Some of the best wide receivers that ever played the game. And I just don't have that faith in Baker Mayfield. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I just don't have that faith in him. It's something about him. And I will admit, it's the eye test. It's the eye test with Baker Mayfield. To look at him, I see a spoiled, privileged little boy. You know, and I see him being the one when everything don't go right. Give me my football, I'm going home. You know, I just see that in him. So, you know, hey, hopefully he can prove me wrong because Mike Evans is a hell of a receiver. Mike Evans is a beast. Yes, he's a beast. So maybe having that beast there will boost Baker's confidence a little more. Matt Jones and Juju Smith-Schuster, Juju is a beast as well. He is a beast as well, and he's proven his name around the league. Matt Jones, the jury is still out on him. The jury is still out on him, and will Belichick have the confidence to let this boy free, to let him run the offense in a manner that will put he and Juju Smith-Schuster on that top quarterback and wide receiver combo list? So, I mean, that's just, I looked at this list again, and I'm like, wow, most of these people's quarterbacks included are new to these teams. How in the hell can you say that they're going to be good with these wide receivers? Oh, okay, you guys are going off of what they did last season. Well, Aaron Rodgers didn't really have a good season in Green Bay last year. Seriously, he didn't. So, yeah, okay. Anyway, go ahead, T. I'm standing up.
Y'all know what time it is. Yeah, I know exactly what time it is, and I'm so sorry that it is the time that it is. So, 57, give us the last word.
57 gone. Let's go to Brother Tang.
Let's go Tang. Come on, Tang, with the last word. Is he still here?
Yeah.
I know he is. Them grandkids just knocked on the door. That's what it happened. Well, you know what? I'm going to keep the last word. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going
to
keep the last
word. That's
what
I was about to say.
Because I have something to say.
You read my mind. You read my mind.
I have something to say. I want to send some prayers out because they haven't called in a minute. So I want to send some prayers out to Uncle Shorty. I want to send a prayer out to Steve. And I want to send some prayers out to Grandma Hermina and Big Boy, you guys, they are recovering, doing well. And listen, send a special shout-out prayer to my Betty, which, you know, her stomach, she's not feeling well. Her stomach has been bothering her a little bit. So, you guys, send out a prayer for my Betty, y'all, our number one online person. Please send out a shout out to my mom.
That's
all
right,
you guys. She wants mom Betty says she wish you guys peace, love, and soul. That is her saying, y'all. That's her saying. Trust me. DMV Kale and Lady T would like to thank everyone that supports us here on Kale's Corner, you guys. DMV Kale and Lady T would also like to say that we love you guys today more than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow, you guys. We're going to love you guys so much more on Thursday. You will feel it. DMV Kelly, Lady T. We are here every Tuesday and Thursday between the hours of 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. The number here is 563-999-3782. And you guys can follow Kel's Corner on Instagram at Kel's Corner and on Facebook at Kel's Corner. You guys can also log in to blogtalkradio.com/UKelMcLean and listen to the broadcast there as well. You guys, hey, don't forget to pick up a shirt, you guys. 1 for $20, 2 for $30. Sizes small to 3XL. If you need a size bigger than that, inbox me or put it on Kel's Corner. We love you guys so very much. Kel, you have the last word.
Hey. Treach, I said it, I don't know, numerous times today, but I'm going to say it again. We love you guys, and thank you so much. Thank you. We really appreciate you guys taking these 2 hours with us going on this ride, this journey to Kel's Corner, sports world, friend world, family world, and the world that we want it to be. Again, congratulations to KK, my little boo, she's graduating. Congratulations to my granddaughter, Zuri, for her graduation. Hey, and listen, the only sports on is baseball. It's baseball. So y'all going to get a whole heap of baseball talk on Thursday's episode, all right? All right, you guys. Hey, be safe. Love somebody. And if you do love them, they should already know. If not, hug them and kiss them until they really know. And my Betty, I got you.